Have you ever seen a cane toad? I've never seen one alive. But many years ago in Queensland, I saw lots of dead ones, well, stuffed ones actually. And they were sitting in armchairs, allegedly smoking, a couple of them copulating, whatever. You could buy them as paperweights. Oh, all manner of things they were turned into. Common theme between them all was they're dead ugly. But that isn't the problem, that they're ugly. Plenty of people are ugly. You know, I mean, I'm not going to win the Beauty Queen Stakes. Let's not argue about ugliness. But the point is, they're a pain in the butt. They're damaging our environment and we'd be better off without them. So, there's the first point. We have a problem. Second point, whenever there's a problem, there are people who come up with ideas and they're not all very smart. Pauline Hanson's had one, and that is to pay a bounty on cane toads. You know, I'm not an economist, but even I can figure out that's a dumb idea. So joining us now is David Smurden. He's the Assistant Professor, School of Economics at the University of Queensland. And he's going to explain all this. He says we should be grateful to Pauline because now there's an excellent example to add to the economics classes in why bounties are just a plug dumb idea. David Smurden, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I don't know, $5 a cane toad, wouldn't there be a rush to get them?
Absolutely. At $5, there would be a big rush. In fact, not just by you and me, but probably by some savvy startups as well.
You mean cane toad breeders?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah,
In fact, that was one of the points that I tried to make in my article.
You made it very well. That's why I asked the question.
Well, I didn't want to say in the case of Pauline's example of 10 cents that there would necessarily be this sort of black market. And in fact, I don't think there would be. But
I wouldn't touch one for 10 cents.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Yuck.
But we don't want to just say it's a bad idea because the price is too low, because then somebody else will come along and say, what about $5? And that's when things get really tricky.
Yeah. And if the price is too low and someone sets up breeding, I don't know how prolific they are in the breeding sense, but I can't imagine that it's too hard to whip up a whole lot of them. And if you can do it cheaply, 10 cents might still provide some incentive. But look, there are examples of this, aren't there, that if you just did a bit of reading, you could come across. The one I like was the rat example, where you had to come up with a rat tail. What was the consequence of that? That was a genius idea. Oh, let's, just so we can clue everybody in on what you and I are sharing, some genius had the idea they had to get rid of rats so they'd pay a bounty. And then some clever person, another clever person at the table said, oh, but we don't want to dispose of all the dead rats. That'll be a mess. So a third clever person, you're in real trouble when you put three clever people together,
said,
I know, why don't we ask for just the tail? What happened there, David?
Yes, well, this was in Hanoi back in the days when the French still occupied there. And, well, of course, it's quite difficult to catch a rat and it's not much fun to dispose of the carcass yourself, but it's not as difficult to get a rat tail. So you can collect your bounty with rat tails, but of course the whole point of this operation is to reduce rat numbers, not to reduce rat tail numbers. So you can imagine what happened after this.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why they call this perverse incentives is that it's not just an ineffective policy, but it actually can make matters worse, because one thing that happened in Hanoi was that out in the countryside, they started to breed rats and simply keep them in captivity, take off their tails and then breed again and breed again. So it can actually make the problem worse.
Is that the cobra effect?
That's right, yes. And as you can guess, it's got to do with snakes. I guess the most famous example, which was in the British colonial times when they were in charge of India, when they had a problem with snakes and they put this bounty in place, which led to farms of cobras being bred. And then when the British realized that this was not helping the problem, they got rid of the bounty, which meant that there were a whole bunch of farmers with a whole bunch of cobras that were now worthless. So, of course, they just let them go. And that meant that the streets of Delhi were now flooded with far more snakes than there were to begin with.
Mm. I'm talking with David Smurden. He's Assistant Professor at the School of Economics, the University of Queensland, and we're talking about cane toads, or more specifically, the stupid idea of putting a 10-cent sort of levy on them, a bounty on cane toads. There's another way of looking at this as well, isn't there, as you rightly point out. You know, 10 cents isn't much, and who wouldn't rather pick up a aluminium soft drink can or plastic bottle water and get the 10 cents from that rather than run around chasing a cane toad? I mean, you'd have to be a complete moron to choose chasing the cane toads over that. But go from the people who do it for money to the people who are doing good things without money. You point out that this pretty much says to people who might be committed to the environment, they say, well, you know, let's go out on a weekend and we'll do whatever we do to help get rid of cane toads, and they give their time voluntarily to do that. And then someone says, oh, well, they're only worth 10 cents.
Yeah, that's right. I think many listeners will be happy to know this is an area of economics where we've made a lot of improvements in the last decades. There was a time when all of our models said giving money always makes people more encouraged to do something, no matter what. But now we've sort of moved more into common sense, which is to say that things like the value of doing good, cultural things like in Australia, we respect our environment, we do things because it's the right thing to do. We started to really take that into account. And so when you do take something that people are doing for free because they're not thinking about it in monetary terms, it's the right thing to do, like picking up litter from the beach or something like that, and then you start paying people a pittance for it, it actually puts people off. And that's one of the reasons why our blood donation rates are similar to those in the US and higher than in some of the US states, even though they pay people there and here we volunteer.
Mm. There's an example that you raise about a penalty for being late to pick up your kids from school, which interested me because when I'm driving past the school at pickup time, I'm like every other person who doesn't have a child at that school, closely acquainted with why people turn to road rage. But what's the story there with the school that, again, had some bright people and thought, right, let's set up a fine for being late?
Yeah, this was very interesting because it was one of the cleanest cases to show to economists that you really need to start putting value on people's intrinsic altruism, we call it. So this was in a daycare centre where a few people were coming late to pick up their kids, but the vast majority were doing the right thing. They were coming on time. And then they introduced a very small fine. $3 an hour was the fine, roughly, when you convert it to Australian dollars. And they put this in place and they found that the number of parents coming late doubled, because it really didn't affect those who were coming late to begin with. But there were a whole bunch of people who were doing it because it was the right thing to do. And then they realized, well, actually, what I'm thinking, this feeling I've got inside of doing the right thing is worth just some coins in my pocket. But the really interesting thing about this is not just that it was a bad result. It was that when they scrapped the fines, expecting it to go back to normal, it didn't. And that's the important thing that economists are starting to realize now, is that these things about doing the right thing, these things about your intrinsic altruism, volunteering, helping out your neighbor, trusting people, all that sort of stuff, once you start making a market out of it, putting a price on it, it can be eroded for good. It doesn't come back again. It can take a long time to try to rectify those sort of social, cultural type things. And that's a really important point for economists today.
Indeed it is. Well, I look at the pictures of the cane toads in these articles, and whoever's the photographer deserves, you know, great credit because they're fabulous pictures.
But that's right.
They do not make the cane toad attractive, and nothing anyone says will make Pauline Hanson's 10 cents attractive, and I hope it never gets to be policy because it'll put some good environmentalists off from their altruistic work. And that would be a very bad thing. David Smurden, Assistant Professor, School of Economics, University of Queensland, thanks very much for joining us on this fabulous example of the cane toad.
Thank you.